Are you wrestling with questions that really matter but just keep coming up empty or perplexed? Well, you've come to the right place. Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff, host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is committed to equipping you with answers that have stood the test of time. Our aim is to help you mine the Bible for all its wealth, so you can share those riches with a skeptical world still hungry for spiritual truth. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We are coming up on a very, very important election. And I would call on everyone who takes the sacred name of Jesus Christ upon their lips to vote. If we don't legislate morality, someone else will legislate immorality. And thus, we ought not to abdicate our responsibility to vote. It is so important for us to seize every opportunity that our voice might be heard, that our voice might be a clarion call to a culture that is devolving before our very eyes. We today stand on the cusp of a civilization that is either poised for ruin or ready for revival, and you are the deciding factor. Pagans adequately express their job description, that is, being a pagan. The question is, are you exercising your job description, that of being an ambassador for Jesus Christ? You know, the truth is, most of us have failed in our ambassadorial commission because we have remained secret agents who have never blown our cover within a lost and dying empire. Make no mistake. We're either going to drift into the spiritual malaise of a biblically bankrupt Europe, or we will experience revival. Revival like that of the persecuted church in China. And you ultimately will be the difference maker, not as an individual, but as a member of the body of Christ. And so in this November election, we recognize the circumstances surrounding our nation. And in this election, because the reality is that someone's morality will be legislated, we have the opportunity to help ensure it is legitimate morality, hopefully grounded in a biblical worldview. I also want to mention that on Tuesday I told you about Asiya. She's a Christian laborer in Pakistan who was accused of committing blasphemy against the Prophet Muhammad, and for that was sentenced to death. You can pronounce her name in a westernized sense as Asiya Bibi, but let me use the Arabic pronunciation, Asiya. Well, Pakistan's Supreme Court recently heard Asiya's final appeal, and we were awaiting the decision. Well, that decision has now come in. And the Pakistani court has overturned her death sentence. Think about the fact that after spending most of the past 8 years in solitary confinement, Asiya has been allowed to walk free from prison. But what has happened as a result of that? Well, an acquittal has polarized Pakistan. The BBC has reported that the landmark ruling has now set off violent protests by Muslims who support blasphemy laws. Mobs are threatening to close down the entire country. They are demanding the dissolution of the government. They're calling not only for Ossia's public hanging, but death to the Supreme Court justices. And they're promising great rewards in the afterlife for those who accomplish these assassinations. Demonstrations are now being held throughout the country, in Karachi, in Lahore, in Peshawar, in Multan. The red zone is Islamabad. Why? Because that's where the Supreme Court is located, and it has been sealed off now by police and paramilitary forces, which have been deployed to keep protesters away from the court. More than 1,000 protesters have blocked a key road in and out of Islamabad, and dozens of more locations have been blocked. And Ossia's lawyer says he is now afraid for his safety as well as his client's safety. Shortly after Ossia's conviction, Punjab's governor, Salman Taseer, he was assassinated for speaking out in her support. And the killer, the assassin, has become a cult hero. He has a large shrine dedicated to him on the outskirts of Islamabad. And his supporters have even created a political party. And that political party has garnered about 2 million votes in this year's general election. A Christian Pakistani federal minister who publicly defended Ossia has also been murdered. Dozens of people accused of blasphemy have been murdered in recent years in Pakistan. As the mere accusation of blasphemy invites zealous defenders of the Prophet's supposed honor, carry out the bloodshed. As I've repeatedly warned, Islam is an all-encompassing socio-political legal matrix that has bred a worldview antagonistic to anything but itself. It's antagonism grounded in a racially flawed system of ethics. And despite the evidence, an endless number of modern politicians seem bent on perpetrating the narrative that Islam is and remains a religion of peace and tolerance. I think back to what former President Barack Obama said, waxing eloquent regarding what he calls Islam's proud tradition of tolerance, and then ominously warning Westerners against impeding Muslim citizens from practicing religion as they see fit. In Obama's world, impeding the religio-socio-political practices of Islam is nothing less than a manifestation of rank hostility, and he said we can't disguise hostility towards any religion behind the pretense of liberalism. To question the proud tradition of Sharia, including blasphemy laws, is now considered hostility. And to impede Muslim citizens from practicing religion as they see fit is characterized as Islamophobia. If consistent with his own dogmatism, Obama would have little tolerance for those who question the right of a Muslim man to hit a rebellious wife who refuses to allow him full lawful sexual enjoyment of her person. Why? Because in accordance with Sharia observances, it is permissible for him to hit her if he believes that hitting her will bring her back to the right path. Ironically, what is now in question is no longer the hostility of the husband, but the hostility of those who have the hubris to question the hostility of the husband hitting his wife. In the end, Ossia was right. The distance between mere mortals like Muhammad and the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," is that of an unbridgeable chasm. The difference between the unreliable revelations of Islam and the certain revelations of Christianity is the distance of infinity. Not only does the prophetic prowess of the Bible elevate it far above the Quran, but as new archaeological nuggets are discovered, the trustworthiness of Scripture is further illumined. One is built on a solid rock, the other on the shifting sands of unreliable revelations. Well, we are coming up on a station break. On the other side of the break, I will go to our phone calls. A lot of you calling in. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Do remember the information I talk about on the broadcast, including my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, you can find on the web at equip.org. Again, we'll be right back with answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Please stay tuned for that.
As our comprehension of the cosmos continues, it's becoming increasingly difficult to deny the signs of a designer. The stunning new film, The Call of the Cosmos: What the Universe Reveals About God, points to a designer with unsurpassed artistry, wisdom, and unfathomable power. It's hard to believe that anyone who watches this film could walk away unconvinced of a creator, making it must-see viewing for believers and skeptics alike. To receive your copy of The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Wrestling with God, Church, and Religion from the Beginning of His Career to Its End, the writings of Mark Twain vividly display an all-too-human temptation to despair pitted against the vital human impulse to hope. Other topics include how to have a civil discussion about abortion, the historical uniqueness of Jesus Christ among the founders of the world's major religions, understanding Nicene Trinitarianism, a practical guide to teaching students apologetics, HBO's Westworld and the ethics of artificial intelligence, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Call of the Cosmos is an unforgettable exploration of God and the universe. This fascinating film begins with a voyage from Earth to the edge of the observable universe, 45 billion light years away. Through a series of visually stunning vignettes, the filmmakers invite you to consider the origin and structure of the cosmos, along with our significance within it. The mysteries of solar eclipses, an agnostic astronomer's honest recognition of the supernatural designer, and the convergent revelations between nature and scripture. Produced by Illustra Media, this stunning new film, The Call of the Cosmos, provides incontestable evidence of a supernatural designer, putting atheists, agnostics, and philosophers alike on notice. To receive your copy of The Call of the Cosmos on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from my good friend and the great author Raymond Ibrahim, and it comes from his book Crucified Again, which we have promoted on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. It's subtitled Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. By the way, Raymond has also authored a new book, Sword and Scimitar, subtitled 14 Centuries of War Between Islam and the West. Again, the quote by Raymond Ibrahim from Crucified Again: Islam Sharia, its way, teaches intolerance and violence against non-Muslims no less than it teaches that Muslim women should wear the hijab. Where one returns, the other will naturally follow. And what we're seeing in Eastern countries like Pakistan, we're starting to see in the West as well. You think about the mobs in Pakistan threatening the dissolution of the Supreme Court. Indeed, the dissolution of the government itself. The government of Punjab assassinated for speaking out against extremism. The assassination becomes something that creates a cult hero. A shrine is dedicated to his memory. His rabid supporters create a new political party, and that in this general election has garnered 2 million votes. It's amazing what can happen in a short period of time within a country no longer dedicated, in some cases never dedicated, to a proper worldview. Let's go to Thomas in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, listening on the web. Hi, Toronto. Hi, Thomas in Toronto.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Great. My question is, when it says the Bible that sin is a transgression of the law, it doesn't say that sin is only the transgression of the law. And my question is, if you understand sin to be having two categories, one could be non-guilty, and one can be guilty, because Mary had to give a sin offering for doing what God actually commanded, which was to bring about life.
Yeah, well, of course, in Orthodoxy, there's no dogma of the Immaculate Conception of Mary. That's a dogma that you have in Roman Catholicism. And again, it is a later dogma. But the law required that an offering of an unblemished lamb be brought, or if the mother was not able to bring a lamb, she would bring a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And so not only do Mary and Joseph offer turtle doves, but as Christ is the unblemished Lamb of God, they perfectly fulfill the precepts of the law by offering him as well. And the offering was an interesting aspect in the case of Mary. You have an offering for ritual uncleanness, no implication of moral fault in childbirth. It's like Jesus undergoing baptism by John to fulfill all righteousness, not because he had to repent of sins. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Billy in Largo, Florida, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Billy.
Hello, Hank. How are you doing today? Thank you very much for taking my call. I'm concerned about this apostles that claim to be apostles today and are sort of like are healing people and such like that. And tonight I'm going to a meeting with my prayer group, and we're not involved with this type of fellowship. And I am just so concerned, and I'm praying for these guys to they want to go because I have no reasons. I don't know why. And I don't know how to combat these, these people that, you know, are want to heal them and such like that. And I don't really want to go, but I'm concerned about my guys in the prayer group.
Well,
I don't know how to combat them.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's so important is to find a healthy, well-balanced church where the word is properly preached and the sacraments are properly administered. so that the church is a healthy spiritual gymnasium whereby you can become by grace what God is by nature. You can become a partaker of the divine nature. You can, as it were, become a God by grace. You never become what God is in his essence. You never become the fourth member of the Trinity, but you are receiving the graces that transform you. And unfortunately, there are many spiritual gymnasiums that are very, very unhealthy today, in which people are designating themselves as prophets or apostles and saying that their prowess is on the same level as the Apostle John or as the prophet Jeremiah. And this is unhealthy, but it's more than unhealthy, it is distinctly dangerous. Of course, the Bible clearly teaches that the apostles and the prophets were commissioned by God to be his personal spokespersons. If you read Ephesians chapter 2, you read that the church was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. And the implication here is that those who claim to be that kind of apostle, that kind of prophet, have taken upon themselves authority that is not given to them by God. And I think the innovation that's going on within the body of Christ today is a scandal. I don't think we ought to be innovators. Even within Roman Catholicism, and I alluded to that as I answered the last call, you have the Pope speaking ex cathedra, and then you have new dogma, like the Immaculate Conception, or like purgatory or limbo. And this same thing is happening over and over again as someone hangs up a shingle and starts a new permutation within Protestantism. And we need to be very, very careful about that. We need to resist that. Why be innovators? Why not perpetuate the faith once for all delivered to the saints? Let me go back to the phone lines. Talk to Joseph. He's in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Joseph.
Hello, Han. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
May God continue to bless you for the work you are doing for the body of Christ. Thank you so much. My question is on Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 to 4.
On what passage?
Does it apply to us today?
I'm sorry, I did not hear the passage that you just cited.
Oh, Deuteronomy 24, verse 1 to 4.
Yes.
Yes, I want to find out, does it apply to us today?
I would have to look up the passage because I did not memorize that passage. I am so sorry.
Can I read it to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
It says, if a man marries a woman who becomes displeasing to him because he finds something indecent about her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, gives it to her and sends her from his house. And if after she leaves his house, she becomes the wife of another man, and her second husband dislikes her and writes her a certificate of divorce, gives it to her and sends her from his house, or if he dies, then her first husband who divorced her is not allowed to marry her again after she has been defiled. That will be detestable in the eyes of the Lord. Do not bring sin upon the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance.
Yeah, let me give you a quick answer to that because I'm almost out of time. But the laws regarding divorce were given to protect the wife from being murdered by her husband, because hate leads to murder, and hard-hearted husbands in Israel would kill their wives if they hated their wives. And so the reason the laws were given was to prevent wife swapping, which would have destroyed the sanctity of marriage. And therefore, divorce was allowed by the lawgiver to prevent the greater evils from occurring. In other words, for hard-hearted husbands who would not hesitate to murder and commit other atrocities if they thought it was to their advantage. Now, the one overlying principles, even within the context of a theocracy, was that God hates divorce. But given the sin of humanity, there were laws placed in the theocratic system. And we don't want to be anachronistic about this, but there were laws within that system which were designed to protect the wife from those who had hardened their hearts against the precepts of God. But again, the Mosaic law applies within the context of a theocratic kingdom, and it takes a tremendous amount of sophistication to understand the nuances of the Mosaic law. So I would be careful to make a rush judgment by reading those laws in an anachronistic fashion. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you right back here on Monday's show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Bring up religion or politics in a conversation, and often people stop being reasonable and demonize those who disagree with them. Fortunately, there are certain skills you can develop that will lead to civil discussions. Other topics include the historical uniqueness of Jesus Christ among the founders of the world's major religions, a practical guide to teaching students apologetics, understanding Nicene Trinitarianism, wrestling with God, church, and religion in the writings of Mark Twain, HBO's Westworld and the ethics of artificial intelligence, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.